Hello and welcome to Inside View, a weekly public service show on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney, joined today by my special guest, Kay Spergel, Executive Director of Mental Health and Recovery Board of Licking and Knox Counties. And Kay, thanks so much for coming in today. It's a busy time for you every day of the year, but especially now as we get closer to the November ballot. And I just want folks to understand they're going to see a ballot issue. Some folks are early voting already, but maybe explain to everybody what is the issue that they're going to see concerning mental health here in our community.
So what people are going to see on the ballot, Dave, is they're going to see a renewal, a 10-year renewal, 1 point mil, which means that for $100,000 value, it's $19 per $100,000, and that is absolutely no increase whatsoever over to what they're already currently paying. So we have been incredibly grateful to the taxpayers of Licking and Knox County over these so many years. The board has been in existence for 50 years, and what we do with their very hard-earned money that they are kind to give to us is we work to enhance the quality of life for children, adults, and families. And we do this by promoting programs such as prevention and treatment, which diminish problems caused by alcoholism, drug addiction, and mental issues that we face every day. Mm-hmm. And as an example, in 2024, we touched the lives of over 24,000 people in both counties, and over 10,000 of those were children and youth. So 91 cents of every dollar that we receive in taxpayers' generosity goes directly to direct services to serve the people that we touch.
Okay, how do you, Licking and Knox counties, so how does that money then get appropriated to each county? Let folks understand how that works too.
So we are considered, because we're a dual board district, we're considered to be our own taxation district, and each county has its own levy, has its own pot of local dollars. And of our total budget, about 40% in both counties, our budget comes locally from residents in both counties. The remaining 60-some percent comes from state and federal funding. And because Licking is the larger of the two counties, we use the county auditor, who actually in Licking County serves as the board's treasurer, and all our dollars filter through the county auditor's office that serve both counties. And so when we go to purchase services on behalf of residents and we're using local dollars, we would only use Knox dollars to purchase services for Knox residents in Knox County, and then Licking levy dollars to purchase services for Licking residents in Licking County. But for the state and federal dollars, we are allowed to use them wherever we wish to in either county, wherever the need is the greatest.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned the state and federal dollars, and you and I were talking beforehand. It's a very tough, very scary time for a lot of organizations, and you folks are in that pot as well, where you're kind of watching. It makes it hard to help folks when you're not exactly sure what's coming in, how much is coming in, and what we can do with it. Is it tough for you as the executive director to go, somebody help me here, I'm trying to figure this all out?
Yeah, it is. Every day is an adventure. So how we approach the work that we do, Dave, is that we have what we refer to as our continuum of care. And that's a very long laundry list of all different types of treatment and crisis and prevention services that we attempt to offer to residents of both counties. Most of these services are provided in county. Some of those services are provided out of county. And as I say, our revenue coming in is about 60-40. And how we choose how to purchase services depends upon risk. It depends upon medical necessity that people have. It depends upon what community we've identified in the community as needs. Mm-hmm. And so where it gets challenging sometimes is if we have a tremendous need and we have a revenue source that may be not as stable, so it's hard for us to sustain it, then we have to figure out other strategies about how to keep that service moving forward. Mm-hmm. So what we do with many of our services for sustainability is we do what we refer to as braided funding. So, for instance, we offer a whole range of crisis services for people in the community. And within that, we may throw in a little levy, we may throw in a little state and a little bit of federal. So if we lose a funding source, it means that we don't lose the whole service. But it may mean that we can't provide as much of that service.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about some of the programs and services that you provide. And obviously, mental health, I mean, you can't talk to anybody anywhere, Kay, where they don't say, really, that's where this is all starting. But people want to talk about alcohol and drugs, and I'm not saying it's not a factor, but boy, oh boy, I talk to a lot of people, and they say the mental health issues in this community across the state are just so, so important to tackle those. I'm assuming that's a key funder for you?
Yeah, it absolutely is. We finished a very large community-wide behavioral health community survey over this last year, and 30% of residents living in both counties identified that we didn't have enough mental health or addiction services in the county, especially for kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one way that people also identified is really wanting to have a greater and more timely access to care when they need it. I think the one thing I should have mentioned before is we really are the community safety net. And most people are not aware of who we are until they need us. And they enter crisis and suddenly, because being in a behavioral health system may be brand new to them, it's a little different than the physical health care system, they will reach out to us. And the safety net does allow them to have access to services. So, yes, it is very, very challenging. The one thing that we do pride ourselves on is in our system, in the public behavioral health system, particularly in treatment, many people have Medicaid. But the people that we would fund using our local dollars and state and federal dollars are individuals often who are working, who may not be able to afford care.
Mm-hmm.
Because either they don't have insurance or their insurance is something many people, you know, have insurance and they can't afford their premiums and their co-pays and their deductibles. And if we have an individual in the community that has a need, say, for counseling and they just can't afford it, this is where we step in and we're able to provide access to some services and some support so they can afford to pay for it and get the care that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we do. And then we contract, obviously, with local providers in order for that to happen. But yes, it's a huge struggle, and there is an impact.
Mm-hmm. You talked about kids. I mean, and I think you said the number was 10,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary, Kay. I mean, when you're talking about trying to get help for folks and you hear those kind of numbers when it comes to kids, what do you do? How do you attack that issue?
So one of the things that we do a lot is preventative work in the communities. And as an example, between both counties, we had almost 12,000 kids and youth receive some type of school-based preventative service. And this was provided in 11 school districts representing actually 11 preschools. 10 elementary schools, 13 middle schools, and 7 high schools. And we measured outcomes to see how effective our approaches are with people. And for our kids with pre- and post-test in our prevention programs, 84% of those kids reported or demonstrated an increased ability to change a behavior or change an attitude or change an outlook. And so they learned something as a result of that. And so the idea is the younger you have a kid exposed to some sort of prevention or life skills training, the more likely they're going to take what they've learned and they're going to then generalize that over their lifespan. So that you kind of put your money where your mouth is. And so if you learn better how to take care of yourself, or you learn greater skills of what we refer to as emotional regulation, which is the ability to problem solve and understand what you're feeling and then find healthy ways to respond to that, or if you learn skills of empathy, any one of those skills or problem solving are really important skills that we as adults mm-hmm. depend upon. The earlier that we expose kids to things like that, the less likely they are to do things like looking towards more risky types of behaviors like, you know, maybe picking up and doing drugs or misusing alcohol or other types of behaviors that might lead them to depression and anxiety. So there's that hope, and there's that community investment that we can say that we can use the revenue and the resources that we have to try to make an impact in the future of the community.
Mm-hmm. What about addiction services? I mean, talk a little bit about what you folks do to help people who are dealing with that, because as we all know, we're seeing more and more folks. I don't care, you know, what it is. You saw what Governor DeWine was trying to do about getting the THC, the intoxicating hemp,
right,
banned. I mean, what do you do to help folks who are dealing with that?
We actually do a lot. So obviously prevention is very important. But what we do to assist people that may be having an issue is we offer a whole range of services. So we obviously offer addiction treatment services that LAP is one of our main providers of care in the community that we contract with. We offer all levels of inpatient and outpatient services. We contract with Shepherd Hill Hospital that provides really good, what we refer to as detoxification, withdrawal management, and then short-term inpatient care for people. And then with outpatient care, as I said, we offer a full range of counseling services. However, addiction is tricky to treat, and sometimes to get people to acknowledge they have an issue is a challenge, and some of that's related to stigma, and some of that's related to not recognizing that someone has an issue. So we do a lot of outreach services where we do a lot of engagement of people, and we try to prepare people to begin to think about maybe entering some higher level of care might give me a better quality of life. Mm-hmm. One program that we have that LAP has is called the CoArt program, which is a community outreach and addiction response team. And LAP actually received last year from the One Ohio Foundation a grant to purchase a vehicle. And what LAP does is they do what we refer to as case finding and response. And so if an individual has a problem or has experienced an overdose, and they will respond after the fact to see if they can't provide more services to them, or at least start with a conversation. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes what we find in order to engage people in care is we have to have many conversations on the front end to help them understand that there are resources and other options out there.
Yeah, and no doubt.
Yeah, it takes some time.
You talk about LAP, and then, you know, a while back we had Holly Linton in and some folks from Behavioral Healthcare Partners of Central Ohio. How do you work with them? Is that one of your funding partners that you deal with?
Yes. BHP is probably one of our biggest providers in both counties, and they offer really comprehensive services. They also offer addiction treatment services. They offer residential treatment in Courage and Spencer House. But they also offer, they are our primary front door for crisis intervention services, 24/7. And they offer a full range of counseling services for children and for adults, both for drug and alcohol and addiction, as well as for mental health.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if folks want information on the levy, they want to learn a little bit more about that, or they, more importantly, want to learn, not more importantly, but just as importantly, learn about your programs, what do they need to do? Is it simply call, website?
Just call us. We also have a website. We certainly enjoy talking with people. I would also encourage people, and you can pick this up on our website, is we do public meetings. We have a board meeting, and we have three or four committee meetings. We invite, it's public. Mm-hmm. We're very transparent about everything we do. We would love people to come and join us and listen to us about what we do and how we make decisions and such. And again, you can find announcements on the website.
You've been listening to Inside View on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney. I'd like to thank our guest today, Kay Spergel, Executive Director, Mental Health and Recovery Boards of Licking and Knox Counties. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.